Good morning. We welcome each one to the Sunday school portion of our worship service this morning. Our brother has asked that we read from Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. In this familiar portion of Scripture, we see the goal of missions. The goal of the missionary is to go and make disciples. But as I thought about it this morning, what is the motive for the missionary? What's the motive? Why would you do it? And the challenge to me is love. Do you love your fellow man? Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus. God so loves the world that we have this command in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. The questions and the challenge for each of us this morning, do we love the world enough to obey the command and take up the challenge as God gives it? Reading from Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Shall we kneel for prayer? Brother Donald Clapper from the Falling Springs congregation has consented to lead our thoughts this morning during the Sunday school hour. Brother Donald is no stranger to us, but one thing you may not know is Brother Donald serves on the Alaska Mission Committee with us as a representative from Falling Springs. And the Mission Committee, along with this congregation, has been blessed by his love of missions, by his counsel, by his wisdom, and by his love of the truth of Scripture. So we appreciate Brother Donald and thank him for coming this morning.
We bring you greetings this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this is the largest Sunday school class that I've ever been in. And I would like to give you opportunity to participate, but being it is so large, I think we'll just handle it, and you might call it preaching, but whatever you call it, it's not really important. The importance is that it is God's word. I'm a firm believer, in believing what God says. And whenever we think about what God says, then that's the most important thing that you can keep in your mind in the world in which you live. If we look at the Old Testament and see that God's purpose for the children of Israel was not for the children of Israel to go out and evangelize the world. The purpose of God's people in the world was that they might know that there is a God in Israel. And if those who are on the outside, there were people that came into the group of the children of Israel, but they didn't come in there because Israel was out evangelizing. They came in because they saw there was a God in Israel. And this morning in the Church of Jesus Christ, of which you are a part of, we are called by this message this morning that our brother read in our hearing. Jesus said, I want us to notice the first thing. Jesus said, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. So Jesus Christ has all authority this morning. Even though he is submissive to the Father, he has all power. God gave him that. And he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. When we think of missions, our mind goes to this very passage. First thing comes to our mind is Matthew 28, 19 and 20, when you talk about missions. But missions affects us in different ways. We're all called to missions. But missions has a broad term this morning. Missions has to do with missionaries. That's what we think about when we think about missions. But missions are not necessarily missionaries that go out into the world and preach the gospel. Missions has to do with this congregation this morning. Missions has a lot to do with my life and your life, wherever you're at, whatever you do, whatever God's called you in this world to do. It has to do with your job. We've learned through Bible study, which we had here several weeks ago, on worship. And our brother taught us that worship is not just for a Sunday morning service. Worship involves our life every day. Every day we worship God by going about our duties and activities of life for His honor and for His glory. It says in this passage, go therefore and teach all nations, which would mean that the message is universal. Man cannot achieve his true humanity without God. I just sat under a class last week, and our brother was showing us about the other religions in the world. And I was appalled. Christianity, Christians, so-called Christians, whatever stripe they are, whatever they represent, Christians in the world amounts to 2.3 million people. But in the other religions of the world, just two of the other religions, Hinduism and Islam, amounts to 2.5 million people. There are 495 million other religions, false religions in the world, which are not counted in the 2.5 billion. So you can see that the mission in the world needs to be brought about. And you and I, every individual sitting here this morning, has a responsibility in some way, shape, or form to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. I'm safe in saying this morning, as I look over this audience, I don't know half of you. Most of you know me. I've been here, been around. But amongst these people this morning, there are people here who are unsaved, are outside the fold and kingdom of Christ. The mission in this church is to save the lost. Your obligation as believers are missionaries right here. Every father and every mother have a mission, and that mission is to raise their children for the Lord. That's the mission. So this subject of missions amounts to a whole lot more than going off into Africa or Indonesia or some other country like Ukraine. You see, God didn't call us all to go over across the water somewhere, but God has called us all to carry the gospel wherever we are. There are men here this morning who work at Public Works. And they have a mission to represent God and Jesus Christ to everybody they come in contact where they work. And believe you me, brothers and sisters, that's a task that is important, and it takes a lot of work. I worked the same place amongst the same men for 37 and a half years. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, they know you better than anybody else in your life, because that's where the rubber meets the road. And so I'm saying this morning, we have a responsibility as missionaries, wherever we are, whatever we do. Geographical distance, language barriers, cultural distinctives make no difference to the gospel. Don't matter. I've been to Africa. I've been to Indonesia. Same gospel, same message. But let me say this morning, in all due respect to whoever, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is only effective wherever you are, as you represent it. You see, I've learned through many mistakes that consistency in our life will send a message far beyond any words that you say. You see, it's not hard for other people to see how you live. It's not very hard at all. Sometimes people misunderstand what you say, but there's no mistake in how we live. God reigns, and through Christ offers the good news of salvation and is offered to every person that he may know the pardon and peace that will come of truly when he truly believes and repents. God not only forgives, you see, that's important. God not only forgives, but he changes our life. He transforms us inside. And when we're transformed inside, what's on the outside will automatically come to being. You see, you don't have to worry about the outside, because that'll automatically take its precedence in our life, and it'll be recognized by others. Transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son. No man can truly become good until he becomes born again and united with Christ. An illustration, when Jonathan Goldfrid, he was a missionary in China, and he came home on a furlough, and an old missionary gave him some advice about preaching. And this old missionary said to Jonathan Goldfrid, "The Chinese have a prejudice against the name of Jesus. Confine your efforts to demolishing false gods, and if you have a second opportunity, you may bring in Jesus." Later that evening, Goldfrid shared with his wife the advice had been given him, and with hot emphasis, he added, "Never, never, never. The gospel which saved the down and outs in the streets and slums of Toronto, the same gospel must save Chinese sinners." Years later, more than one missionary came to Jonathan Goldfrid and asked what the secret of power was to get men of the depths of their sin. He replied, "I simply believe and teach God's word. Some have said you cannot preach to a proud Confucian scholar, the same as the common crowd." But he added, "There's no royal road to God, rich or poor, Chinese or Canadians, educated or ignorant, all are sinners, and therefore must come by the same Savior on the same road. In order to go forth, we must sense the universal need of the gospel to be taught. Nothing will be accomplished if we find all we see is necessary for the task. There is an urgency for taking the gospel to all the world when there are 3 billion followers of false gods. I'm just amazed that we are surrounded in the United States of America, not on some foreign soil, but in the United States of America, the amount of people who follow false gods. When I listened to this teaching last week, and what these people in false religions believe, I can't believe. It's hard for me to believe that they follow this kind of thing, because their religion puts demands on their life. Can you imagine that in a false religion, men and women are continually worried about whether they can get here, here, here? In reincarnation, people live a life and then they try to be good in their own way to reach another goal in the next reincarnated life, and you just keep going that way until you reach a plateau where you can become God. Work, work, work. And you don't know whether you'll ever make it. When in Jesus Christ, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then He works to make us new people, barring the fact that we are called upon Him to be obedient. Our brother said in the opening this morning about love. You know, I live in a world today of Christendom that says just as long as you love Jesus, you're all right. I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters, that's very vital. But in order to love Jesus, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So the opposite of that is, if you don't keep my commandments, you don't love me. And so we can't say, I love Jesus, and just go about doing whatever we want. You know, in the Old Testament, when there was no king in Israel, man did that which is right in his own eyes. And brothers and sisters, this morning, I find that in our churches, men and women do what's right in their own eyes, taking correction and instruction from nobody. And if you love Jesus, Jesus will be primary in your life, and you will surrender your life to Him. You see, total surrender is saying to God, here I am. Do with me what you want to. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so it's not about me, it's about God. It's very important to know the truth, because that's what we need to be able to tell others about the gospel. You see, this is it, brothers and sisters. This is God's word. If you love Jesus, you'll love this word. And if you love this word, you will obey this word. And it really doesn't matter what I think or you think. This is what God thinks. This is what God says. I'm just convinced, brothers and sisters, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ dwelling within us to be able to meet the world. Because the world this morning has the answers. They have the answers for you. They're going to tell you what it's going to take so you can be satisfied. You see, whenever I listen to the world, I'm listening to the devil. You see, this morning, brothers and sisters, the sad thing is, if we're not serving God, we're serving the devil. There's no other choice. You don't have any other alternative. There's no other way. God's way or Satan's way. And Satan's idea about life is to steal, to kill, and destroy. You see, it's very important where God put us. It's very important where God put us. You weren't born in the United States of America by accident. God put you here. Brother Alex came from Ukraine. That's where God put him. He was born in that country, I hope, I guess. I never met Alex, but I've thought a lot about Alex. I was anxious to meet him. That's one reason why I'm here. I was invited to come, but I was interested in meeting Alex. That was the main purpose for me coming. But you see, God puts us all where he wants us, and God has a purpose for all of our life. He just doesn't put us in the world to exist, have a good time, satisfy my flesh, and go away. That wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose for everyone is to do his will, to obey him. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, the purpose was for his kingdom. For him, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth to keep going his kingdom. But Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And so his kingdom was broken. And when Jesus came, he came to reestablish that kingdom. And we are in that kingdom. And our responsibility is to continue on that kingdom, that we might bring glory and honor to him. Sometimes we are not following the leading that God gives because of other people in our life that influence our decisions. It said of the apostles, foremost, they followed him. They did what he said. An illustration of that, Robert Moffat, he was a missionary. He was from England, and he was home on furlough. He was telling about the dark continent of Africa. In the audience that day was a young Scot named David Livingston. He was studying to be a doctor and had decided to give his life to the service of God. But where and how was he going? How was he sure? As he listened to Dr. Moffat's story, he heard the missionary say, "There is a vast plain to the north where I have sometimes seen in the morning star the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." Livingston never forgot those words, the smoke of 1,000 villages. Afterwards, we went to Dr. Moffat and asked, "Would I do for Africa?" That moment constituted David Livingston's great decision, not only the nature of the gospel, but also the need for the people. The need of the gospel won his heart and life. And if you know the life of David Livingston, he dedicated his life to Africa. I had an experience several years ago, privileged to be in Indonesia. Met a young couple, just married. I can't remember their name anymore. But it was amazing. Met him and his wife in a village where our son was at. That young couple came to Indonesia. They were going to be part of the new tribe's mission. They were going to boat down the river, and then a big boat. Then they were going to boat up a river, small boat, and go into a village that no white man had ever been to preach the gospel. And they went. I was privileged to meet them. It was amazing to me, a young couple, just married. They were going to trek across the mountain. After they boated up the river, they had to trek across the mountain, go into a village where nobody could understand, could understand each other. Years later, this young man and his wife, he wrote a book. It's called Pale-Faced Brave. And they are still there, preaching the gospel, raising their family. They interpreted the Bible while they were there. Can you imagine not knowing how to speak a language or understand the language, and they had to interpret the scriptures. They had to take English and associate it with that language of that community. And God gave two men in that village the desire for the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own language, that they helped this man interpret it. And the villages became associated with the gospel and Jesus Christ. And then other villages, when they saw what was happening, they came. They spent day after day after day after day after day listening to the gospel, because they were so hungry for the gospel. In the United States of America, we take everything for granted. We come to church on Sunday morning and sit in the pew and listen to the word and go home, and business as usual. The Bible is a story of God in action. He never slumbers or sleeps. Psalm 121, verse 4. It was said likewise of the Master that he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Luke 24, verse 9. The ceaseless activity of the Savior was demonstrated in that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10, 30, 38. Before Pentecost, God promised his messengers that the Holy Spirit would come upon them in order that they might be witnesses for him in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 12, 8. The whole idea of Christ's commission is that of mobility and action. Mark 16, 15. Go means a forward motion, and teach means give understanding. But no one can share the gospel of Jesus Christ without a personal desire. Do we? You think within yourself, as I think within myself, do I really care about my next door neighbor? Oh yeah, we care about missionaries in Africa and Ukraine and other places of the world. We think about that. We think the gospel ought to come there. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, United States of America is the broadest mission field that we'll ever have. Talk about United States of America as a Christian nation. Maybe one day they did have good principles, but we've lost all those principles when we no longer want to recognize God as supreme, when we no longer want to listen to the word of God. I just heard on the news the other day that the reason you're not allowed to put the Ten Commandments in the halls of schools or other building is because they're afraid that people will listen to it and begin to obey it. Huh? This is where we live. Does the United States of America need the gospel? The United States of America needs the gospel, but the United States needs an example of the gospel as we, the church, represent it. And now in our country, churches no longer worry about the Word of God. Make sure we have all these laws of the United States of America. Make sure we do this or we do that and the other thing. Humanitarian aid, very good. But that's not the goal of the church. The goal of the church is to minister the gospel. And the ministering the gospel comes from my life as I live from day to day. A minister once was asked by a friend how many members he had in his church. 1,000, the preacher said. Really? The friend commented. And how many of them are active? All of them are active, was the response. About 200 are active for the Lord, and the balance are active for the devil. On which side are you? Jesus said. He that is not with me against me, and he gathereth not with me scatters abroad. There can be no neutrality in this matter of mobility, whether we are active for God or we're active for the devil. I think I said that before, but that's an illustration from somebody else. It's interesting and important to observe that all references to living and preaching the gospel have to do with the urgency of the days in which we live. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, it says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner of this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, but exhorting one another, you see, that's why we come together on Sunday morning. We come together to exhort one another. We don't necessarily come to listen to the preacher. That's important. The preaching of the gospel is important. That's God's plan for the word, is through the foolishness of preaching, men will be saved. But we come together to encourage one another, to help one another. I just heard a preacher on the radio this morning on the way here. And he said, how many of us come to church on Sunday morning and we talk to each other and say, how are you doing? How's your relationship with Jesus Christ? What's happening in your life? He said, we come to church and say, how's the corn crop? How's everything growing? Wonderful. You see, this is not all wrong, but it's an idea to think. Do we really care about people? Do we really know enough about the Word of God to give encouragement to our brother and sister? Do we know enough about the Word of God to discuss it? I remember when I was a boy, my father was a lover of good men. The Bible says, should be a lover of good men. My father was a lover of good men. And I traveled with my father many times. We traveled to different churches. When Ian H. Beam, I don't know how many of you remember him, when Ian H. Beam was on a circuit, and he preached a lot of places, and when it was close home, my dad was always there. And when we would go for Sunday dinner to people's houses, my father and Brother Beam and other men sat around in the living room, and they talked about the Word of God. And I was privileged to be able to sit and listen. We didn't run around on Sunday out playing ball and doing the other things. We sat and listened to the older men discuss the Word of God. My grandfather, on my mother's side, was a minister of the gospel, and he took his family in the early 1900s, and they went from Pennsylvania west. And my mother said that they lived in 7 states of the West, traveling and preaching. Grandpa ran a farm for 2 years, started church, preached the gospel, and moved somewhere else. That was the life of my mother. And my grandfather got old. He moved to California with most of his family. And I'm told that Brother Blair Hoover was my grandfather's name, and Brother Skiles from California, and another brother or two from California would get together, and those men would discuss the Word of God. You see, where are we at today, brothers and sisters? We discuss everything else. The Word of God is not a part of my life. It's interesting and important to observe that all references to living and preaching the gospel have to do with the urgency of the days in which we live. The New Testament reminds us that time is short, the days are evil, the fields are white, the harvest, the labors are few. The night's coming. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Do you really believe? Do you really believe that we're living in the last days? Do you really believe that the Lord could come today? If you do, your life will be different. You see, if you knew that you would not live till tomorrow morning, what would you do about your life? Serious question. God's method in communicating the gospel has always been that through preaching, men would be saved. That's God's plan. The writer of Hebrews puts it perfectly when he says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Hebrews 1:2a. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching men to be saved. While this method, or God's method, by which the gospel is presented is man, the manner in which the gospel is preached is not the same. Back years ago, they had horse and buggies. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have radios. Today, we have automobiles and airplanes to take us to the four corners of the world to preach the gospel. Makes it a lot easier. When David Livingston went, he went by boat, traveled up the river, preached the gospel, walked. Apostle Paul traveled by boat and walked to preach the gospel. When I was in Indonesia, the people walked. I just talked to a man in Georgia when we were there for a wedding, my granddaughter. He was a missionary in Indonesia. He said he walked 7 miles every Sunday morning to preach the gospel to the natives in another village and walked back 7 miles in the evening. And we got cars and we got airplanes and we've got everything. While God's method of preaching the gospel, the way it is brought is different today. You and I have radios. You and I have cell phones. You and I have ways of communication that other people never have had. I'm told that in countries where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not welcomed, the people in those countries can receive the gospel of Jesus Christ by radio and by cell phones. I'm told, my daughter and family are in Africa now, and everybody seems like they have cell phones. And that's a good way of communication that was never available before. These people live in these dark countries, can get a cell phone signal and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? And then we have Bible Helps, praise the Lord, who prints the gospel of Jesus Christ and sends it out here and there and everywhere. You see, we as people have a mission. You might not be able to go to Africa or Indonesia or Ukraine, but you can, in your home, teach your children. Raise your family for the Lord. You can give of your finances to the gospel of Jesus Christ that it might be spread. You can speak to your neighbors and your fellow workers. It's all mission. It's all mission. You're a missionary wherever you are at. But if God calls you, listen to the voice of the Lord. If the God calls you to go someplace else, go. But don't go to have a good time. Go because God calls you. A brother in South America, I can't think of the name of the place. Anyhow, he told the story. He was ahead of a missionary. He was kind of the head of this missionary organization. He's a bishop in this country. And he said they wanted to send a missionary to another area. Of course, where he lived, it was hot and humid and all that. But this area that the missionary was supposed to go to was a cold climate. And this young couple, this man and woman, no children, they came for an interview. And he said to them, I want you to know that you're used to this hot climate. Where you're going, it's cold. It's cold, and it's cold. And the man said, that's no problem. We'll go. And he said to the wife, I want you to know, when you go there, you'll have no house to live in. You'll have to make do, whatever you got. She said, wherever God calls my husband, I'll be there. He said, go. He said, the last time I heard him speak of that, he said, they're still there. And they now have a house, and they have a family. But you see, the thing was, it really didn't matter what the circumstances. God called them to go, and they went. Today, the call goes out to whoever, to go. If you're called to go, you better go, because you cannot operate where you're at if God calls you somewhere else. But if God calls you to be here, then you do what God asks you to do while you're here. May the Lord be blessed and praised and honored and glorified in our life as we think about our mission in this world in which we live.